Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. What a great show we have tonight. We have listeners I know from around the world. Rock and roll legend, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the backbone, I've always thought, of the Beach Boys. Al Jardine is going to be joining us in just a few moments from his home in California. And I'll tell you what, with all this cold, snowy weather that we've had in our part of the country, it's going to be kind of nice to think about the Beach Boys and their music and California and the waves and the sunshine. So it'll be a nice break tonight. As always, manning the control room and making sure that we stay on the air and we have communication with California, Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson will be taking care of those responsibilities. And as always, from his massive broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson.
Well, we're very excited about tonight.
Yes, we are.
Al Jardine is going to be joining us in just a few moments. I was getting ready to, I'm going to ask him during the show if he misses Lima, Ohio. It's probably about the same as it is here right now, 20-some degrees in anticipation of a snowfall tonight for the next couple nights. So I wonder if he'd want to leave that California surf to go play in the snow.
Well, you know, if he comes back to visit, we're not that far off, are we?
No, we're not. We want to remind everyone that the Wild World News presented by Dr. Henry Day is underwritten by Jed Kaiser Films. Using an artistic, modern style, they produce affordable wedding videos that are as unique as the couple that stars in them. Jed Kaiser travels around the world doing these videos. He's a master cinematographer, all HD. His website, jedkaiser.com. And off with our Wild World News tonight, Dr. Henry Day.
Well, I know we're going to have a lot of fun tonight with the Wild World News. And you know what else? I thought in honor of Al Jardine that we should call it Pet Sounds tonight.
There you go. What a great idea.
Fantastic. Okay, well, let's start off in Anchorage, Alaska. Fort Hyden residents are asking the state for help with aggressive wolves. Residents say they spot wolves in and around town daily. Now, the Department of Fish and Game says it, too, is concerned about the wolves in the community, and they've flown a biologist in to Anchorage to speak to the residents who are scared to leave their homes without a gun.
Well, you know, all that we need there is a little bit of education, because wolves, I mean, I knew a fellow that was in the British Columbia backcountry for 21 days trying to study wolves. He didn't even see one. So they're normally very wary animals, so all we need is a little education there.
That's right, and hopefully they'll be able to do a good job there.
Yep.
All right, Valley, Nebraska. Now, this is a great idea. A pilot program called Horses for Heroes offers equine-assisted therapy for veterans of any era, but especially those who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan. Riding a horse can help improve a person's muscle tone, balance, posture, and coordination. And we know horses are very healing for anybody who spends any time around them.
Yes, they are. I don't know, there's something about the spirit of a horse. In fact, they've done similar programs with that with inmates as far as rehabilitating wild animals. It's amazing what wild animals can do to our souls.
That's why people love their pets.
That's right.
All right, now I drove my little deuce coupe to Burlington, Vermont for this story.
Okay.
Now, a power outage affecting about 5,000 customers in South Burlington was likely caused by a squirrel. WCAX-TV said a substation experienced a problem with a animal contact to one of their circuits Saturday morning. Now, they're saying they think it was a squirrel, but it was pretty hard to tell from the remains exactly what it was. But the outage affected streetlights, area hotels, homes, and the University Mall. But the power was restored by lunchtime.
Oh, squirrels get blamed for everything.
Yeah. That's because they're nuts. They're just
that's right. They're nuts.
All right. Now, the federal government proposed listing ringed seals and bearded seals as threatened under the Endangered Species Act because of the projected loss of sea ice from climate warming.
Well, you know, I've always said the government, they've talked a lot about this global warming or climate warming, they choose to call it now. And we've spent a lot of money and a lot of time spent on that, so there's got to be something to it. I mean, the Earth is definitely changing, so hopefully they'll get that put together and get them on the endangered species list.
I agree. Mm. Now, I rode my little Honda to Sioux Falls for this story.
Oh.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Okay.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture will have $300,000 available for state farmers and ranchers to improve the habitat or reduce threats to the sage-grouse population. The sage-grouse numbers are so small that hunting is limited to two counties, and hunters are allowed only one grouse in a two-day period.
How big is a grouse?
Well, they're basically between the size of a chicken and a turkey.
Boy, it sure seems like it'd be a lot cheaper to go to the grocery store and just buy the chicken. I mean, the bullets have to cost more than the chicken. So
exactly.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
That's right. It is.
All right. Well, they could use a little warmth of the sun in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Oh.
The cold weather gripping the state means more stunned sea turtles off the coast. The turtles become paralyzed by abnormally low temperatures. 30 were reported in trouble near Cape Lookout. On top of the more than 20 turtles that Topsail Beach Sea Turtle Rescue and Rehabilitation Center Director Karen Beasley has already discovered.
Well, we have to get a hold of Karen Beasley and find out what's going on and have her on the show. We'll do that.
That's a great idea.
Yes. We need to.
Okay, now, guess where I got a postcard from?
Where did you get a postcard from?
I got a postcard from California.
Oh, you did? Well.
Well, it was from Los Angeles.
Yes.
Now, listen to this.
Okay.
Several groups have filed a lawsuit challenging the California Coastal Commission's approval of a $1 million plan to restore Malibu Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
The groups worry the effort will further damage the estuary, which is a regular stop for herons, egrets, and other birds. Officials say that part of the lagoon must be drained and rebuilt to help get the water flowing again.
Well, maybe, you know, Al, being he lives in California, he may be familiar with that, so we need to talk to him later on about that. So save that story. Keep it close by, Henry.
All right. Now, here's an interesting story. Bend, Oregon. A woman said three deer attacked her barking dog in her small fenced yard, leaving the animal with head wounds and a punctured chest. Tiffany Rounds said she's used to seeing deer, but not in her yard. Her small dog, Daisy, clearly thought that was inappropriate and went flying out the door barking. Now, Rounds said that her vet expects Daisy to make a full recovery.
Well, they have sharp hooves.
You know what I would tell her?
What would you tell her?
Don't worry, baby.
No, but they do. They have very sharp hooves. And you know those little dogs. I remember my mother-in-law, we took in her long-haired chihuahua, and he used to go out into the wild animal compound and walk right up to the lions and tiger enclosures, and it would just bark at them. I mean, just daring them. I'm thinking, gosh, these things, never mind. Their bowel movements are bigger than this dog, so.
Yeah,
but anyway.
The small dogs, they bark because they're not sure if they can bite you or not. The big dogs, they know they can bite you. They don't really worry about it.
No, not at all.
All right. Well, we're picking up some good, good, good vibrations from this story.
Oh, okay.
Fort Carson, Colorado. The Trees for Troops program is providing free Christmas trees to families of Fort Carson soldiers. About 600 trees will be distributed starting today. The trees are provided by FedEx and the Colorado Christmas Spirit Foundation. Nationwide, Trees for Troops have delivered more than 50,000 trees since 2005.
What a wonderful program. That is fantastic. What a wow. Now that puts me in the holiday spirit, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Now, while we're in the holiday spirit, it looks like dogs are Santa's favorites. Dogs have more to look for under the Christmas tree this season than cats do. 56% of dog owners say they'll buy their pets a gift for Christmas, but only 48% of the cat owners plan to buy anything. Now, a majority of all pet owners, 53%, said in the Associated Press PetSide.com poll that they plan to get their animals a present this holiday season. The AP PetSide.com poll also showed that women are somewhat more likely than men to buy gifts for their animals.
Well, that's a pretty good poll. That's absolutely true. I know for some reason you always want to buy that Christmas gift for the dog. I guess because they seem like they appreciate it.
Yeah, it could be anything.
For your cat. It just
it could be a rock. It could be a tree limb. It could be a cardboard box.
Doesn't matter.
They'll be happy with it. Yeah.
Yes. Dogs appreciate. Did they have on that poll baby baboons?
No. How is the baby baboon?
Well, it's waiting for Christmas, and it'll have several things underneath its tree.
Well, I'll have to get Elizabeth something this year.
You should, yes.
All right, we don't know the best place to catch a wave.
Where's that?
Sapelo Island, Georgia.
Uh-oh.
Now, the Department of Natural Resources researchers say they have spotted the first newborn North Atlantic right whale of the calving season in the waters off the coast. Right whales are highly endangered, and researchers believe as few as 350 exist. Biologists monitor the waters there along the southern Atlantic coast during the December to March calving season.
That is fantastic news. What a great story. That is wonderful.
The baby whales, they're coming around.
All right.
Now listen to this. Autobahn's Birds of America sells for more than $10 million at auction. We're going to London, England.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a nest egg. John James Audubon's Birds of America, a rare blend of art, natural history, and craftsmanship, fetched more than $10 million at auction this last Tuesday, making it the world's most expensive published book. With its 435 hand-colored illustrations of birds drawn to size, the volume is one of the best preserved editions of Audubon's 19th century masterpiece. The sale at Sotheby's auction house has been anticipated for months by wealthy collectors. The book sold for $10,270,000 to an anonymous bidder bidding by phone. A naturalist and an artist, Audubon had an unequaled ability to observe, catalog, and paint the birds he observed in the wild. Experts say this book, originally published in 1827, is unmatched in its beauty and is also of considerable scientific value, justifying its enormous price tag.
How much did it sell for again?
$10,270,000.
To an unknown buyer?
Right.
Did you buy that, Al?
Hello.
Al, did you buy that book?
Yeah, I had to have it.
I figured.
What are you guys doing?
Well, we're going to be talking to you here in a little bit here. We're
okay.
Very excited.
I've been eavesdropping on you.
Well, we appreciate that. It's quite a thrill to have you on tonight. Doctor, was that
your
last story?
Yeah, that's it. I've got a couple more little things to say. Oh, and I have to tell you my Beach Boy story before we end up.
Oh, we will.
All right. The Old Farmer's Almanac says the next 2 weeks are the best for fishing. Now, also, let's see, Monday's the 13th, Monday and Tuesday, we have meteor showers. Now, these could possibly be the best of our lifetime. An estimated 75 an hour. There's supposed to be spectacular colors, lights. It's hopefully the sky will be clear. We'll be able to see these meteor showers.
Well, I hope so, too, because out here it's pretty dark, and it should be a fairly amazing show if we don't have clouds. Well, thank you.
Okay, now while we've got Al on the phone, I wanted to ask him. I can't remember for sure. Maybe he'll remember, even though it's been 40-some years ago. I went and saw the Beach Boys at Clues Hall here in Indiana.
I remember Clues Hall.
And I was thinking it was maybe 1970, 1971.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Somewhere in there, because I was still in high school. And I did everything we could. We finally got the Beach Boy tickets, and they were only like, I don't know, $8.50 or, you know, $9 or something.
Yeah.
Incredible price.
Yeah.
But it was just, the Beach Boys were late getting there, and we're all outside. They hadn't let anybody inside yet. And somebody appears on top of Clues Hall and screams down, "The Beach Boys are just got here. They'll be out as soon as they get their shit together." And the whole crowd went wild. It just, they finally let us all in. The best thing about it was I was on crutches. I had sprained my ankle, and I was on crutches, and everybody, they assisted me and helped me all through the whole thing. The show goes on. It's just beautiful. If you've never been in the room with those voices, the Beach Boys, it's unbelievable. To be in the same room.
Oh, it's a good sound, huh?
That was a beautiful sound. And anyway, what made the show really great was one of the cheerleaders at our high school was sitting on the front row, and she was brought up on stage, and they sang Surfer Girl to her. And it was just beautiful.
Sounds like a heartwarming moment.
It was just a beautiful thing. You guys put on one hell of a show.
Thank you.
That's Dr. Day with the Wild World News, underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. We also want to remind everyone that we have several underwriters that make this possible for us to be on the air. Jerry Jones and Tire Service Plus, they keep our animal truck on the road, 317-243-0700. Peter and Kathy Weimer, the We Want You Cottage is way up in Chautauqua Lake, New York. And here's their website, www.wewantyou.com. Have something very exciting. It's called iKids Fishing, where youngsters can download their picture of that big fish they've caught over the summer and compare it to young anglers all across the country. And that's at www.wewantyou.com. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. Magnificent God's country. Info at McGregorMountainLodge.com. And also a big thank you to Harrison College. www.harrison.edu. They have a fantastic veterinarian technician program, and also Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina. Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes, they cover 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline, known for world-class fishing. Here's that website, santeecoopercountry.org, or give the girls a call to completely plan your trip, 1-800-227-8510. Those are our underwriters. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Now you know that I'm going out west. I think that it's for the best. Hopes and dreams are what this nation's built on. They wrote me a letter back. Said, get yourself out here fast. We'll send for your things and put you in a nice hotel. I knew I was doing good. They typed it on an Underwood. My letter came all the way by U.S. mail. They said they could use a man who could read a set of blueprint plans. By the time you read this, I'll be flying over Indian Wells.
and I'll be sending you a postcard from California.
Sounds of Al Jardine from his brand new, I still call them albums, A Postcard from California. Al, I would like to officially welcome you to the program. We didn't have a chance to earlier. How you doing?
Well, you cut Glenn Campbell off just as he was starting his second verse, though.
You know, I have to tell you the truth. When I
You got to hear Glenn. I mean, that's part of the song.
He is so fan. The whole album, the whole CD is magnificent. I mean, when this finally, now it is available on iTunes and Amazon, but when you can finally go into a Walmart and buy this, it ought to just fly off the shelves because it is fantastic.
Well, my golly, would you mind being my public relations person from now on?
David Carr does a fine job, but it is amazing.
How did he find you?
Well, I found you, Al. I'd sent you an email and invited you to be on the show. Now, I have to tell you a little background behind our program. It's called Larry Batson's Wild World. We have on biologists, zoologists, adventurers, explorers, things that I'm interested in. And also I'm interested in music, musicians, and the Beach Boys were basically a part of my life. I mean, a very, very important part of my life. I can still remember buying the first 45, which really, of Help Me Rhonda, and it was just like we used to go. There was a record store in Indianapolis that you would go up and ask for. They kept them behind the counter. And, and you'd buy, say, hey, I want the Beach Boys CDs, and, of course, that was when the Beatle thing was happening, too. And, what I've always said, my wife and I were talking about this earlier. I am really thankful for the time that I've grown up and the music that we had a chance to enjoy. Between the Beach Boys, of course, the Beatles, it's just magnificent. And we really didn't, I don't think we really appreciated it at the time. We didn't realize how lucky we were.
Yeah, I understand. I don't think any of us did. We too were caught up in it and pretty much in the experience, and we didn't appreciate it as much as we should have. But now we can.
Oh, absolutely. And I've always thought, you know, I'm going to do a little whatever, but I've always thought when I would watch the Beach Boys on every show, the Shindig, the Hullabaloo, Ed Sullivan, that Al Jardine was essentially the backbone to the Beach Boys because he appeared to me like the guy that would always be at work on time. He knew what he was supposed to do. He'd always deliver. And basically, he seemed like, as far as the Beach Boys are concerned, he was kind of like the blue-collared worker, the guy that just went there.
Yeah, you guessed it.
Well, I'm sorry?
Yeah, I was George Harrison of the band, I think, except I didn't play guitar quite as well, but I was the unsung one. Unsung, that's interesting. A Beach Boy being unsung.
Well.
But that's an interesting comment from yours truly. But you know, a lot of the credit goes to the fact that we all put a lot of work into it. We were all journeymen. Let's put it this way: we're all journeymen on our way to a career that we didn't know was going to be so big.
Mm-hmm. You know, go ahead.
No, that was it.
Oh, okay.
We worked tireless, around the clock for a long time, and we were always on the road or else in the recording studio, and it was a passion that, we felt we had to, at first, embrace and then to endure. It became quite a millstone, you know.
It's a hard job, isn't it?
Yeah, Yeah, it really is work. I was watching John Lennon's Imagine documentary last night on TV,
mm-hmm.
and he said pretty much the same thing. And you know, it got to the point where he had to do everything. It wasn't that he could. It was that he had to do it. And when he realized that he had to do it, he didn't want to do it anymore. and then when he stopped and took a little time to reflect, then he wanted to do it again.
Right. On his own terms.
We didn't have the sense to put the stops on it, though. We just kept going and going and going and going until we kind of fizzled out as a band. We stopped recording about 10 years ago when Carl died.
Mm-hmm.
And that was basically about it. That was the end of the Beach Boys as we knew it. And so I thought, you know what, I can't just stop. I mean, like John, I had too much time to think about it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how the album came to, how the CD, A Postcard from California, came to be.
Well, I mean, from the packaging, from the moment I opened it up, in fact, I'll tell you what happened. We were leaving. I have an animal compound here, Al, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but I do.
Oh, yeah, sure, I sure am.
In fact, we used to take animals on Johnny Carson with Jim Fowler, and I'm very into the environment, which I've discovered that you are as well, and we're going to be talking a lot about that. And you also have animals?
Oh, yeah, quite a few. We're, my wife is a collector.
Oh, she is?
Yeah, she collects living and breathing, mammals,
mm-hmm.
Reptiles, amphibians, and extinct dinosaurs. She has just repopulated our chicken coop. So,
and a parrot.
Anyway, a parrot, a little African gray, but I mean, and a little pig. You know, just enough of everything to keep the ark ready and to go.
Well, it's a lot of fun, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's just terrific. You know, as long as we keep the predators away, that's the trick. You know, we're pretty far out here on the continental shelf. We're
mm-hmm.
we're as far west. Yet, and we have a lot of critters that would like to they invade on a regular basis, but the dogs help to keep them away. So,
well, dogs, yeah, oh, absolutely. Well, believe it or not, we've got Great Pyrenees, and they, I know, probably one of the problems you guys run into are coyotes.
Yeah, and mountain lion and bobcats and stuff like and other critters, and it's been interesting though, you know, we've seen a lot of critters come and go. You know, the coyotes only came recently, in the last several years. And the rabbits, all of a sudden, we got millions of rabbits around. Maybe that's why the coyotes are here.
That is exactly why. You just answered your own question. That is, the coyotes
know that.
Are following the food. So, yes, yeah. that's absolutely why. But anyway. So this album, this Postcard from California, I mean, every song is like an adventure. Every song is just, I mean, it's a total entertainment package. I mean, you can put in a CD. I've kept it in my truck now since I've had it for about 2 weeks. And it's basically the only thing that I play. But I have to tell you, we were going to pick up Tiger Food. And we just got it in the mail, and I popped it in. And the opening cut is the one we played, Postcard from California, which also has Glenn Campbell. And it just took my breath away.
Oh,
I mean, when it hits that chorus, it's just like, I really felt, you know, and what really helped me, so I've listened to the Beach Boys like everyone forever, that I realized what a strong voice Al Jardine had in the Beach Boys.
Well, don't take it away from the rest of the guys. It was a team effort. Carl had a Carl could sing. Everybody had their range. The beauty of it was everybody had their particular role to play, and it worked out perfectly for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just gravitated to those parts. I always sang the second tenor. Carl was under me, third tenor, I guess, and Mike would be the baritone, and Brian on that beautiful falsetto.
Oh, yes.
And Glenn Campbell replaced Brian when he stopped touring. And we developed a relationship that lasted until now, until this very day. And he very generously gave of his time to do that second verse and the choruses with me, and
oh,
it just brought back all those good vibrations, you know what I mean? Those good days we had together.
Well, it was wonderful to listen to it in the snowy weather that we've had here. Now, I know you're from Lima, Ohio. Do you have, I believe it's probably 20 degrees, do you have a yearning to go back to Lima and check it out?
No, well, we did. We actually went back there and did a charity concert for the America House, which unfortunately no longer exists there. It was a charity, private charitable foundation.
And so I had
a really wonderful, reminiscent little time there, and was able to even bring my mother back and show her the house that we used to live in. So it was rather fun. And then I visited my grandpa's farm in Fremont, Indiana.
Oh, really?
Which is pretty close to the border of Ohio there, I think. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, as a matter of fact, his farm lies in three different states, Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana.
Wow.
The corner of his farm. Isn't that amazing?
That's cool. That's pretty cool, yeah.
It's a beautiful little place, and the barn's still standing there, still looks great, still smells the same. You know that wonderful smell of the cows in the barn?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Kind of that real sweet. There's just something sweet about that. You don't smell that. You don't have those kinds of, conditions here in California, at least. Well, I haven't been to a dairy farm lately, to be honest with you, so I don't know. But that, I guess my wife would say that's the smell of money, you know.
It is.
if you're in a pig farm and it smells awful, you know, well, that's okay. That's the smell of money.
That's right.
That's what her dad used to say. But this is just a sweet smell of memories, you know, of my childhood. And I just love that part of the world.
It is great. I'm live outside of Indianapolis, and we've got 20 some acres in the middle of nowhere. And it's just like the other day, I sat in my truck and watched two red-tailed hawks. They're getting ready to think about courtship here soon. So,
I'm kidding. Are they native?
Yeah. In fact, we have bald eagles nesting just down the road.
Isn't that fantastic?
And the male, he's already there and checking out the location. They've been there for, gosh, I'm thinking like 12 or 13. And now the nest is getting pretty big.
Wow.
You know, they add to the nest every year. And you can go down. In fact, my mother was here for some reason, and I said, let me show you something. Says, we're going to go drive down to the eagle's nest. And you can park on the road and watch the nest, and they had chicks. And it was so cool because there was the mother eagle with the chicks, and here come the male bringing food down to him. And they were screaming at him, and it was just like, I said, Mom, that is breathtaking. It was awesome, I'm telling you.
Well, we have red-tailed hawk here on the coast, and that's why I was surprised. I just thought they were only California species.
No.
I guess they're all over the country.
Yes, they are. Yeah, we've got a couple that's decided to call our property home, and we'll say you can use whatever you need. We're going to be back in just a few moments with Al Jardine. Man, this show needs to be 2 hours tonight. This is Larry Batson, and you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh, boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
This bobcat, heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. This is Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Our guest tonight, Beach Boy Al Jardine's with us, and we'll be back with him in just a few moments. We want to remind everyone that our underwriters that make it possible for us to be on the air, such as Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. They cover 171,000 acres. The place is huge. It looks like an ocean. If you want to go fishing, that's where you go. www.santeecoopercountry.org or give the girls a call, 1-800-227-8510. Also, Jerry Jones Tire Service Plus. They keep our animal truck on the road. Peter and Kathy Weimer, we want you cottages at Chautauqua Lake. If you're planning a summer outing up in western New York, fantastic pike and smallmouth fishing, wewantyou.com. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. That's God's country, everybody. And here's their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. And a special thank you to Harrison College at www.harrison.edu. And also, you might check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Tells all about our wildlife rescue work that we do, also our wildlife education programs, and also our brand-new children's book, Alphabet Swamp, which we can still ship out for Christmas. That's at LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Those are our underwriters. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. Help me, Rhonda. Help, help me.
California with not only our guest Al Jardine, but the legendary Steve Miller. I have to tell you, Al, that is one of my favorite cuts on the album.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, I love. Well, I love the whole album. But
well, thank you. I love that song, and I wanted first my impression was, do I really want to redo the song?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's a classic, and you know, it's kind of risky. But I thought of Steve and his wonderful harmonica legend partner, unfortunately late, great Norton Buffalo, who played the harmonica, and I thought, boy, could they ever do a blues version of this song? And they, without hesitation, Steve changed his flight itinerary to leave Los Angeles and come to Monterey instead of going home to Boise, Sun Valley, where he lives,
mm-hmm.
and he detoured it to my place. Let's put it that way, an entire jet airplane, right? and spent all night with me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's his generosity is overwhelming.
I also have to tell you, I do an FM show on Sundays here in Indianapolis, and we put that on our playlist on my show. And in 3 hours, we played it three times. And got tremendous response.
Yeah, he's a great musician. Everyone that gave their time to this project just put 100% of their body and soul into it. It was truly magnificent. I don't think I would have enjoyed doing it without a partnership, because I'm so used to singing and being involved with others in a recording project. I don't see myself as a solo artist.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I think I accumulated so many people on this thing.
Well, they're your friends, I assume.
Mm-hmm. And that too. Well, thanks for liking the song.
There's several songs. Now, I know this album, am I not right stating that Don't Fight the Sea, one of the tracks on the album, is basically the last track that the Beach Boys all did together? Is that true?
I believe it is, yeah. I would have to say it was the last. Well, let's put it this way. It's the last newly released, or the first. No, it would be the last newly released song with Carl Wilson on it, I'm pretty sure, and his brothers. Although Dennis is not on it. He was gone before I had a chance to finish it up, but started. Well, that song has been in production for quite a long time. Mike only recently put his voice on this year, and it's been a while. It's one of those songs that's been sitting around waiting for the right time. And boy, if there was ever the right time, it's now. We don't want to mess with the water, with the ocean. There's so much going on that it's mind-boggling, as you know.
It is. Well, what's some of the things I know that you're involved with there in California, and as far as the your ecological work?
Well, I'm a member of the Monterey Peninsula Aquarium over here in Monterey Peninsula, Cannery Row,
mm-hmm.
right? I don't know if you've heard of the fantastic deep sea research they do into the end of the. We have a pretty deep ocean right where we are. There's a canyon, submarine canyon that goes through the area, and they do a lot of important research there. So we're always involved with them in one way or another. Watching their progress, and they're inspiring us, to do better ocean management, And they're just a fantastic group. And then also there's I went to a whaling meeting, a meeting of, I don't know if it was whale or if it's just a whaling, some kind of a nautical, water resource management thing, and they have whaling conferences here, and just recently I missed the last one, darn it, but the blues, you know, the blues come by here on a regular basis during
right.
the summer. The grays migrate in December
uh-huh.
to Mexico and come back in January, February. So there's always something going on out there. There are always whales going one way or the other at different times of the year. And the Coast Guard just announced that they're going to change the shipping lanes to accommodate the whales off of the San Francisco Bay Area.
Oh,
they've
wow.
been, unfortunately, they killed five, I hope they're not blues, but they killed five whales this year alone, which is like, you know, unheard of. That's just the traffic, you know, going in and out of there. The krill are finding different, you know, they're following the krill, you know.
Right.
And that's cool that they've actually suggested that they change the shipping lanes. I thought that was really cool.
That is. I mean,
that's major.
It is major. It's almost like they've discovered that these windmills, these air things for generate energy, are killing lots of birds. Lots of birds.
Wow.
Yes. In fact, I've noticed some Fish and Wildlife people with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that have done studies around these windmills, and they basically it's a bird cemetery underneath them.
Wow.
The amount of birds that have been killed. And I would have
to wonder what it is.
Well, they you know, these windmills go fast. You know the ones I'm talking about, like they got in Palm Springs?
Oh, they
like big hundreds. Propellers in the air, essentially.
Yeah.
On these huge towers.
But it's so windy, you wouldn't think birds would be flying in that area. I mean, usually they just stay down when it's windy, you know? I mean, I think that maybe they're trying to do them somehow.
They're killing birds and bats. That's what
I've
discussed this with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which we do a lot of work with, and I've had several of them as guests on this program. And he said it's pretty bad. So,
wow.
Yeah.
There's a way to put a net in front of that whole area, you know, like just a giant, you know. Well,
you know, I thought about that too. Now, we were going up to Chicago from Indianapolis a while back, and there was an area that I didn't even know. This has been put up within the last 5 years. It was huge, the area that these windmills covered, just absolutely huge. And then when I saw those, I thought, you know, they have the right intentions, but you know, it kills a lot of wildlife. A lot of wildlife.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that.
Now, I imagine, Alan, I'm sure you have on many occasions, when you see a whale in person, it's kind of like when you see the mountains. You realize at that moment you're just a little bit of speck of nothing.
Yeah, you sure do. They're amazing creatures, and I missed the whole opportunity this summer. I was so busy with my getting this album out. I wanted to go out and do some whale watching and totally missed it. I mean, I had it all marked out in the calendar and everything. And there were several outings, you know, with this Cetacan Society. That's what it's called, the Cetacan Society. That's the meeting I was in Monterey, and they're real concerned about, you know, the ocean the population of the whales. It's incredible, and I missed it.
Well,
there's next year.
I was just getting ready to say that. I'm sure you'll have plenty of opportunity. I'm sure the thrill that you have an interest in it because of your ability to.
In December they'll start migrating again. Actually, hey, that's this month. My gosh. So we'll see
some
migrational patterns. But the grays are a little smaller, you know, and they go out a little further. But you know, we usually see the grays coming and going. Them off the coast.
And what a great thing for tourism. I mean, look at these whales. Look at all the money that's brought into your part of the country. People that want to see that.
Now, the right. Did I hear you mention that the first baby whale was sighted, a right whale in the Atlantic?
Yes, sir.
First baby.
Yep.
I'll be.
Yeah, and I think Dr. Day said that there was only, well, how many were left in the wild, Henry?
They believe there's only like 350 that exist in the wild now.
Right whale. Really?
Yep.
That's scary.
How cool is that?
That's very cool.
But they're calving then.
Yes.
Already.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Because the whales here don't, the grays don't calve until they get down to Baja in January.
Hmm.
Interesting.
You wouldn't lie to us, would you, Dr. Henry Day?
Well, that's Pacific, though. I mean, I assume the Atlantic, they must calve somewhere else, I guess.
I guess so.
By the time, I mean.
So this magical
you
album.
Migrate down to the. Yeah, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
They must migrate down to the southern hemisphere then, or I mean, at least towards the equator and do it and then come back and have their babies, I would think.
Well, that would have, basically what would have to happen, I would assume. Dr. Day, you're going to have to do more research on that.
Okay. Will do.
Okay. But this magical album that you've done, Al, it's some of the artists on it, Neil Young, David Crosby, Stephen Stills. I really like those two tracks. The one.
Ah, yeah, they did a good job.
Oh my lord!
They were. Yeah, you know, they. I wanted that. I wanted that raw voice for the second verse on Cal Saga. To you know, reflect that, you know, raw, that reality of that of
mm-hmm.
being in Steinbeck country, you know.
Mm-hmm. Neil Young is a big fan of the Beach Boys. He's also done a lot of things with Brian, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he followed. He was our opening act for a few years when they first started out as the Buffalo Springfield group. You know, and so we know each other fairly well. And yeah, he loves the Beach Boys.
I had a question, back, we're kind of going back in history a little bit here, but, you know, I remember reading about when the Beatles were in the recording sessions, that basically the songs were created in a studio, worked out arrangements. I had the feeling that the Beach Boys didn't do it that way.
Well, we usually had a pretty good idea of how it was going to go.
Yeah.
And well, that's how you would do it. You'd basically take a song and you'd run it by, you'd run it until you got it right, you know. And it wasn't too difficult, really. I mean, and if it's a new song, you know, Brian would create a chord chart for us, you know, so we would know pretty much where the song was going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was good about the lead sheets for us, and you know, write out a bass line and a chord chart for us, and so it wasn't that difficult. It was hard on Dennis. It was very difficult for him because the tempo is the one thing that it's difficult to learn. It's something you either have it or you don't, I think, you know, key, good time, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Dennis was a great road drummer.
Yeah.
Well, he could really play the heck out of the drums. We all just basically learned from zero, from scratch, because none of us really played anything when we started. And so,
wow.
Yeah. We just rented our stuff. I rented the equipment from a music store for us to record our first record.
that just
Brian had the template. Brian had the template we were working from, which was nice. Which, because, you know, if you don't have a good song, a good strong, you know, like a blueprint, like I say in my song in Postcards, you can't read the blueprint. You know, you're based, or you can't write the blueprint for that matter. You really don't have any direction, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what a chord chart is. A chord
right.
chart is for us. It's a blueprint, which is an old-fashioned way of saying, a Xerox or a photocopy
yeah.
of the progression of how the song's going to go. And you'd usually sketch it out for us on the piano. For a few minutes, just to give an idea of the melody, you know, and what we're getting into, because it really helps to know what the song sounds like, you know, what the song's going to sound like before you record it.
Right, right. that would probably
I mean,
help.
The musicians need, in fact, they prefer to have you be there in the studio behind the glass singing it to them. That's
mm-hmm.
even better. Singing it as you go along, you know, just kind of give them an idea how it should feel, and you know, the tempo and
Did you have an old Beach Boys song that was your favorite that you, when you played it, you know, every night you thought, yeah, this is.
Is that a question?
Yes. Was there a favorite with Al Jardine?
There's a lot of favorites. Boy, I tell you, I love the acapella things we did. I just, the more, the lesser known things like, Their Hearts Were Full of Spring by the Four Freshmen.
There you go.
That was the song we cut teeth on before we even became Beach Boys. The very beautiful four part. You got to check it out if you don't know that song.
I will.
Oh, man. I don't know if we even have. There's only one place I know of you can get it, though. And that's on a British version called Live in London. Live in London was the title of that album. And it's just, I think it was on Live in London. I'm pretty sure. Anyway, if not, then check out the Four Freshmen version. Because that's the kind of harmony I like. It's kind of a very tight harmony. You'll hear kids doing it. You can hear. I heard some bands last night singing it on like some kind of an a cappella concept music show, and boy, there's some really talented kids out there.
Do you have any? Do you keep up with the new artists? Is there any favorites that the young kids listen to now that they say, hey, they're pretty good?
Yeah, I like this band out of Seattle called Fleet Foxes.
They're
a young band, and Fleet, like Fleet as a fox, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Fleet Foxes, and boy, that kid can really sing, and they've got a nice. They sound like they have kind of a Gregorian sound. You know what a Gregorian chant is?
Right.
Yeah, they really have a great singing style and great songwriting. And. And another band, my wife is telling me in the background, you can probably hear Arcade out of Montreal, of all places. That's an interesting band.
I'll bet.
Those kind of northerly-based bands really sound great. I mean, it's just amazing what talent's out there. The good songwriting talent, because it all boils down to a good song. Like you were saying, you like the songs on my album. And
mm-hmm.
I'm just lucky to have good songs. I don't even know how it all came together. It was more of an inspiration based. It just flowed from one thing to another. And if I ever do another one, I've got more material like this that'll fill up an album very nicely.
Oh, great.
There's just not enough room on one album. I mean, you could bore people to death with a lot of this stuff. But I thought this was enough, you know, for this one. And put a couple of rockers in there, a couple of, you know, solid ones like familiar tunes that people at least can enjoy those. It's like a side A and a side B, the way I see this album. It's got the serious side and kind of the fun side.
Oh, and as I said, it's magnificent. Brian Wilson's voice is in it, a couple different tracks, or three tracks.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, the San Simeon, wow. What? And the voices of America.
Aren't they nice? I really felt they really did a great job.
Oh.
I love San Simeon. Those guys are singing on that tune as well.
Yeah.
And it's just very expansive. That song I did tailor a little bit towards the Beach Boys version of Don't Worry Baby.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have that. In fact, I played the bass on both tunes. I wanted to have a nice bit. And it was just pretty cool.
Yes. Well, the whole album, we could talk about it for hours. It's absolutely magnificent. And I want to tell everyone, we need to go to Al's website, aljardine.com. There's the links there to order your copy through Amazon. Or if you'd like to wait, I know we're talking about the springtime, Al?
Yeah, there'll be a physical release coming out. It's just I have to decide who's going to release it, and it'll be out this spring.
Well, it's absolutely fantastic, and we cannot wait for that. I know my listeners around the world are in great anticipation for the new Al Jardine album. Folks, it is absolutely magnificent, as well as our
Thank
guest
you.
Tonight. Gosh, Al, what a nice fellow. I knew you would be. I already felt like I knew you after watching the Beach Boys all these years.
Well, thanks. That's nice.
Yeah, I can just
appreciate
kind of
doing, too. I appreciate what you're doing, too. It's just terrific.
Well, I'll tell you what. Maybe in the spring when this thing's getting ready to hit, if you can afford a few minutes of your time, we'll have you back on again. Because I know we have a lot more discussing to carry out as far as wildlife.
Well, I would be happy to.
Oh, it'd be our pleasure. Al Jardine, and as I mentioned, aljardine.com. We'd like to also thank my radio station, RadioMom.fm, for helping us out with the music tonight. Fantastic music. Next week, our guest, you may know him, Al, Bobby Caldwell.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk a little... Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Johnny. This is Musicians Month, and then we're going to go with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife the week after with Mark Madison, a historian who just recently got back from Louisiana, and they brought back the archives from the gentleman that was basically brought the whooping crane back from extinction. And we'll finish up the month of December with a young artist, Laura Cheadle from the New York area, very new, fantastic singer. In fact, Al, I should send you her CD.
Well, that would be a pleasure.
I think I will. I'll get you one. This is Larry Batson's Wild World. We'd like to thank Al Jardine. Al, have a great holiday.
Hey, Larry, can I ask?
Sure.
Before we hang up? I mean, or you could just edit this if you want, but the International Wildlife Veterinary Guys in Africa, are you familiar with that particular group?
Yes.
That are trying to save the rhinos?
Oh, yes.
Do you know anything about, it's in Rhodesia, I think they're trying to get down to Rhodesia, but there's a lot of political strife. Oh, Zimbabwe? Okay, yeah, down in Zimbabwe. If you have if you can give them any help, if you can think of anything or anybody to contact down there, because the government doesn't want anybody to come in.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they're being testy about it.
Let's get somebody on the program and let's talk about it for an hour.
Really? Oh, great! Yeah.
Or this worldwide.
They want to go down, but they're afraid. They're afraid for their own personal safety, and it's like, you know. But they want to get down there and see what they can do to help save the rhinos.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're
behind anything
that.
You can do to help.
We're behind that 100%. In fact, I'll give you a jingle afterwards, and we'll find out the contacts and so forth, and we'll just get them on the program, and we'll discuss this for an hour. For this worldwide audience.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Larry.
Al and your family, have a wonderful holiday. We really appreciate it. Folks, you've been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Larry Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.